These two creepypasta stories are brought to you by Spooky Boo and www.scarystorytime.com. Unwanted company. For the latter half of my childhood, I lived in a small town called Burnsley in northeast England, immigrating from London for a more peaceful lifestyle. Life was good. I made friends at school. My dad started managing a local butcher's and nothing really bad happened often. However, one day at school, I got confronted by three bullies from year 8, the year above me. They tried to pick me up and shove me in a bin nearby, but a teacher stopped them. I simply dismissed it as them showing year 7's dominance. But then it happened more and more and started getting more frequent as the year progressed. I was getting bruises left and right and center. One time, the oldest cut my lip with a punch to the face. This bullying carried on into the next year. In the year later, seemingly out of nowhere, I started hearing rumors of livestock dying from local farms, particularly one where my dad's business gets his cattle from. The corpses appeared to be mangled beyond recognition. My family dismissed it as wolves, but I felt slightly weirded out by it all. A month later, and a whole wheat farm and the house on the property burned to the ground. The farm was attacked again, and my dad was insanely ticked off. The bullying got worse, and I found myself struggling to sleep at night. My grades dropped significantly, and an incident with a meat cleaver due to drowsiness left my hand gushing blood. I was losing my mind. Then it happened. One lonely night I was studying hard after school, desperately trying to improve my grades. When I finally left the desolate school at 9 p.m., I spotted the same bullies that tormented me the year before, smoking against a wall. Thinking quickly, I ducked into a nearby wheat field and made my way carefully through the rows. That was when I heard running behind me and was knocked unconscious. When I awoke, three bullies were standing around me, giving me a mocking look. The oldest picked me up by the collar and slammed me into the wall. "What are you doing out here when it's past your bedtime on your own, you stupid twat?" he jeered. I tried to resist, but he quickly equipped a knife out of his pocket. "So you don't have to get punished by your parents when you get home. I will do it for you," he said. I closed my eyes and I heard a strange growl. When I opened them, the bully at the back was gone. The oldest one still held me with one hand and was turned around staring at the other one in the eye with an, I assume, a confused expression. All of a sudden, this thing appeared out of the sky and soared down, wings open, picked up the other one and took flight again. The oldest bully got terrified and ran off, releasing me from his grip. I quickly hid behind a stable wall and watched what was about to happen next. The thing obviously wasn't intent on letting him get away, and swooped down, grabbed him, and took off far away into the night. As soon as it was out of sight, I ran off through the wheat fields and to my house. The bodies were found in an abandoned slaughterhouse a year later, stripped from flesh right down to the bone. The next night, the creature came to me in my dreams. I couldn't take it anymore. I convinced my family to move. We relocated to a small town in the southwest. One fateful day, I got a letter through the post box. What it said will still haunt me forever. "Remember what I did for you back in Burnsley?" Story number 2. Hate. We are trapped within the darkest holes of our mind. We can't wait to be free. My name is Jason Beckett. I'm a 17-year-old senior and the only child of Julie and Ryan Beckett. My family is an on-the-road kind of family due to constant job openings given to my father. My father became a pharmacist at the local CVS. Mom just stays home while Dad is away. Due to my family constantly moving, I never really made friends, nor do I plan on making any. It's not like I ever needed any friends. We moved to 15 Windham Avenue in an aqua blue house in Mandan, North Dakota. It's not much like the other houses with their fancy lawns and house decorations. I could care less what anybody thinks about us. If we're poor, rich, middle class, we'll leave anyway. When I was a child, I got into a huge fight with three teenagers who, to what I thought, were trying to kill me. I don't know why they wanted me dead. Maybe it's because they were in a gang. It was in the middle of the street, and the fight was more of me protecting myself after being threatened by them and sworn at. I was shoved backwards, and I began to lose my balance. I fell and landed head first into the sidewalk pavement. As I lay there bleeding from my skull, everything began to fade. I noticed the three teenagers rush over to me, and as I did, I saw someone behind them. Then I blacked out. When Mom and Dad found me on the floor bleeding out, I was rushed to the emergency room, where I was given a full body CAT scan. I asked Mom what happened to those kids who attacked me. She told me that I was too young to hear, but something unfortunate had happened to them. After the CAT scan was complete, doctors noticed something peculiar and irregular happening in my brain. They said something about my limbic system, the area involving my emotions. I was asked if I hated those boys who attacked me, with which I calmly replied, "No, what's hate? If it's something bad, then no, I don't hate them for what they did to me." They concluded that I had a rare, maybe new, form of psychopathic personality disorder that didn't allow me to hate anyone or anything. They were fairly surprised as they didn't know what this meant or what it was causing, since this weird that it would target one specific emotion. They told my parents that they shouldn't be afraid because it only targeted hate, which could be considered a really good thing. It was just a feeling that will never be introduced to me because of this unknown problem, but I do know that because of the same benefit from my problem, not being able to hate others and stay cool-headed, there was also a drawback. Every night I have recurring dreams. It's a dark, almost empty, pitch-black world that I'm thrown into. It always feels like I have never been here, although I always have those dreams every night. There is someone standing in the darkness, unmoving. I could tell there is someone there in this pitch-black abyss because, although everything is dark, that person was always darker. Not even the textbook definition can fully explain how this being can even be seen. As if there is no light able to reach this mysterious person, but through my presence he is as visible as a sunflower in the middle of a rose field. In these dreams, it would always just stand there in this abyss, silent and still. It's always in my dreams. Well, I say dreams because nothing bad ever really happens. Regardless, it's an ominous vision. Pops enrolled me into Mandan High School. I'm a senior there, so there really isn't much going for my senior graduation, as I share no special bond with these strangers. I usually keep to myself. I got dressed in my jean pants, red plaid shirt, and beanie hat. I grabbed my bag, which I only had one drawing notebook and five lead pencils, since I like to draw in my spare time, three notebooks, and a textbook involving the human mind that I stole from my dad. My dad has a fascination for my psychological problem, but it doesn't bother me. I waited at my bus stop and boarded the bus. I was the new kid in town, so naturally everyone just stared at me for the first couple of seconds. I got on the bus and sat down. Then they returned back to their daily activities. They were gossiping, texting, talking, and reading like most teens do. I got to school, received my schedule from my school counselor, and headed to my first period class. Psychology class. Who would have guessed I was put in there? The teacher handed out those written on and worn out textbooks, but I refused when one was handed to me. I had my father's textbook and viewed it more advanced and efficient than the ones offered by this school. Infinity of the Human Mind was the name of his textbook. It gave a lot of information regarding human emotions, knowledge, brain growth, human reactions. But as the class started, I had the urge to just take out my drawing notebook and a lead pencil. I began to draw, but I didn't know what I was drawing. I just drew instinctively. As I drew, I grew tired and began to yawn. I was slowly starting to fall asleep and then knocked out unconsciously on top of my drawing notebook 25 minutes into class. And I was having that dream again. I was in the same dark place with only me and that person standing there. I always wondered if it had a face, but every time I got closer, it got farther. And if he, she, or it didn't want me close. But this one was different. This manifestation of utter darkness did not move when I got closer. I slowly walked towards it, and when I got to it as close as skin contact, I woke up. It was 5 minutes before class had ended, and I was drooling on my notebook. It was closed shut, and my lead pencil was no longer in my hand, but placed on top of my notebook. The lead pencil looked worn out, as the eraser was completely gone and the tip seemed burnt from use. I shook the pencil and heard nothing, nothing at all. All the lead was gone. Maybe someone stole all the lead. I didn't know or care. I could always just get more. Everyone around me was just socializing or listening to music, and here I am, sleepy and confused. I wonder what I was drawing before I slept. Maybe I finished it. I grabbed my notebook and flipped through the pages to notice that all the pages I'd been flipping through so far had been empty. I was sure that when I began to draw, it was on the very first page. I would never start anywhere but the first page of a new notebook. Once I reached the last page, I dropped my notebook. My eyes widened from a sleepy gaze to that of a frightened child. It was that person in that empty world, but there was a white spot in the middle where his face would be. Almost as if his, her, or its face was beginning to emerge from the shadows. The bell rang and psychology class was over. I quickly snapped out of it and slammed the notebook shut and continued to my next class. The image still burned into my psyche and pulsating strangely as if something I miss, want, or need, but I can't have. The school day was over and I no longer felt drowsy and sleepy. I headed home, and that was that. Nothing else happened. I told my parents when I arrived home what had happened to me at school and what I saw. My mom told me that it was probably just my imagination getting the best of me. My father, on the other hand, thought differently. He had me re-explain in detail what I had seen, and he took notes. Shortly after the extensive questioning, he walked towards the door and dialed a number. I can't clearly remember what he had been saying. I think it might, again, limbic system, the three kids, today. I didn't stick around and just headed to my room since it was already 10 o'clock. By the time he finished his constant questioning, as I headed to bed, I questioned if I would really have that dream again after that whole ordeal at school. I always have these dreams as if they were a daily routine. Well, I mean, they are to me. So I just decided to shut my eyes and fall asleep. Strangely enough, I didn't have that dream again like every other night. Instead, I woke up, having no dream or consciousness of what I dreamt about. It was as if I closed my eyes and then opened them to the dawn of tomorrow. To be honest, I was relieved, strangely. I felt like my life was going to take a turn for the better and things would finally change. 2 months had passed since what happened in psychology class, and I still didn't have any dreams that would relate to that event or in general. I've already read my dad's book 5 times and learned a lot from it. One part in particular always caught my attention. The physiology of emotion is closely linked to the arousal of the nervous system with various states and strengths of arousal relating apparently to particular emotions. Although those acting primarily on emotion may seem as if they are not thinking, cognition is an important aspect of emotion, particularly in the interpretation of events. Emotions are aroused in relations to certain events. Interesting. Regardless, I waited at my bus stop as usual. The same sunny yellow bus came driving by and stopped to pick me up. I boarded the bus and sat down, unfortunately next to Zach. Zach is a senior jock who has a tendency of overshowing his dominance on others. I was no exception. He immediately told me to screw off and sit somewhere else. But there was nowhere else to go, and in no condition am I getting off the bus. I told him to deal with it and stop being such a meathead. He glared me down as if he had every motive to forcefully kick me off the bus. He shoved me off the seat, and I immediately got up to plant myself back on the seat. He shoved me off again and cursed my name for the entire bus to hear. All eyes were on me. I didn't know what to do or say. Suddenly, something rushed into me, something weird, evil, angry. I rushed off the bus floor and punched Zach straight in the face, seeming as if I had broken his nose. The impact was so strong that his head whiplashed on the glass of the bus window, causing a crack to emerge. Zach's dirty blonde hair and red spots jacket plummeting onto the leather green seat. He was unconscious. I didn't know what I had done, but I felt glad that I did it. I turned to see everyone staring at me, and then I froze. I was completely petrified and in total shock from who I saw standing amongst the crowd. This thing was standing right by the bus driver before the driver got up to rush to Zach and me. It seemed like more of its face was manifesting from what has happened. The skin was pale white and only appeared on a quarter of where its face should be. One black empty hole was where its eye should be, and in the center of this hole, a crimson-red dot just faintly glowing. Before I could even scream, I was pushed and pinned down by the bus driver. I was never the same after what happened that day. Just when I thought things would be different, I slipped out of consciousness and into its world. I am no longer referring it as my dream world, but a dark world where it inhabits and forever haunts me, mentally and now in reality. It stood there again in this abyss, its faintly glowing eye pinned straight on me. I don't know what it wanted, but I was angry for the fact that I had no control over anything. It was that entire thing's fault, all of it. Every last ounce of what caused this or what has happened to me in my life, all the bad things, its fault. As I kept rummaging through all of these events being blamed towards it, a skin-like mask began growing on its face. A second eye emerged from that being. Both eyes are now fixated onto me, and it began to slowly move towards me. It was striding from left to right as if it has no sense of direction, and as it headed towards me, its head twisted and shook violently every step it took. All I knew was that I didn't want it near me. But no matter what I did, my feet were planted firmly into the darkness. I couldn't scream or raise my voice high enough for anyone to hear, just a small shrewd whisper calling out for help as if it was all that my body could allow. It was now an arm's length of my face. It leaned over and directed its eyes straight at mine. And then there was a blood-curdling scream. I woke up. I was in a hospital bed covered in snow-white sheets and thin wires strapped onto my head. My head was hurting and throbbing a lot. I was in a solitary room surrounded by one-way glass windows. I couldn't see what was happening outside, but whoever was behind those windows could see me. I felt like a hamster in its cage, and I was being observed and experimented on while I was unconscious. How long have I been unconscious? My head hurt. What did they do to me? All of these thoughts made me angry, just angry. Two doctors and three guards entered a nearby camouflage glass door. I asked them who they were and what they wanted, but they ignored me. Instead, those three guards pinned me down to the hospital bed while one of the doctors came towards me with a syringe. Were they trying to sedate me? Why were they doing this? I was scared. Then the same strange feeling rushed into me again, and in that very same rush, I saw the reflections of it on all of the one-way glass windows, standing there and mocking me. They were all mocking me, and they all had those same faintly glowing crimson dot eyes. I broke free from the three men and lunged for the syringe the doctor was grasping. Before he could even react, I snatched it from his hand and pierced the needle into his neck, close to his jugular. He landed on the floor with a thud, and the three guards and the other doctor froze in their tracks. What were they looking at? What did I just do? Blood began to seep out of the punctured neck wound of the collapsed doctor. Oh my God, did I do that? My hands began to shake and I began to chuckle. I couldn't have. It was its fault. I moved and faced the one-way window to see my reflection, only to be greeted by those same faintly glowing crimson eyes. I was rushed with the same strange foreign feeling again, and I quickly struck the wall with my fists, just punching and punching in hopes of it going away. Cracks appeared, but no matter what I did, its eyes were always fixated on me. I stopped the assault on the window as I heard the opening of the glass door and a rush of footsteps quickly following. The color in my vision turned into a darker hue. The white tiled floor my feet were planted on was now dark and gray, and the same casual hospital bed and its white fabric sheets were tainted with the same darkness. My reality was now its reality, and as I slowly turned my head, everyone became it in my eyes. The only thing that was slightly normal was me in my reflection, except I began to turn into that shadow. The same white pale skin began to emerge on my face, and I grew those same horrendous, ominous red eyes. I refaced everyone who entered the room, who now took the form of the very being that had haunted me ever since I was young. I walked toward them, and as I did, I heard the noise of the tranquilizers being fired. I slowly began to fall asleep, but I kept pacing towards them until I was in arm's reach of one of them. I reached out with my arm and clutched one of their shirts. I hate you. This is Spooky Boo. If you enjoyed that story, head on over to my website at www.scarystorytime.com and leave a comment. Also, on Saturdays, I read stories and submissions from listeners. So if you would like to turn in your own story, please visit the website and click on submissions so you can learn how to turn in your own story for me to read online.